Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please let's lift up our hands this morning to heaven as we bless the one that sits on the throne, our Father, our King, and our God. Let's exalt him. Let's magnify him. Father, we give you glory this morning. We thank you for your presence in this place. Please lift up your hands if you can. Just lift them up to heaven and just worship him this morning. You are the one that died on the cross for us. It is in your name we gather. It is at your feet we have gathered this morning to be taught by your Spirit. Thank you for that we are set to do in our lives this season. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Please, you may be seated. I want to appreciate my pastor, Pastor Yemi David, for this honor and this privilege to be here this morning to be a speaker. When I saw the flyer for the event, for the conference, I told my team that I was going to be here for the conference, only for me to get a call 2 or 3 days later that I will be speaking. So I said, well, whether or not I'm speaking, I'd plan to be here, because in December, I connected online to the conference that held here, and I was seriously blessed. So I decided that, okay, if I was that blessed online, then it would make sense to be here personally and physically. That's why I decided to come. And thank you very much, sir, for this great honor. And many people don't know that I have known Pastor Yemi now for close to 20 years. In September, actually, it will be 20 years since our path crossed. And the first day I met him, I was a student in Obafemi Law University and a member of the fellowship that he founded. I knew that there is a connection here. There is a covenant connection. And every year since then, it has proven to be that. And we had the honor of him inaugurating our church in 2011 and ordaining me into the ministry. And he has come to be a blessing to us over and over again. He was the one that God used to teach me a lot of things. You know, when you carry a village unction and God is calling you to go to places, he will refine you. Pastor Yemi was that refiner's fire. For us as leaders in Living Word Fellowship, he will come all the way from Lagos then to just sit with us and teach us practical things. I don't want to talk about the things that he thought of, but very practical things that have shaped who I am and what I do in ministry today. I also want to add that I remember that night in Abuja when you told me the 7 things that I must be mindful of as I embark on the ministry in 2008. I have them written in my vision book, the first page of my vision book, are those 7 things. Every time I check them, and it's been a compass to me in the work that I do. Thank you very much for all you've been doing for us, and thank you for this honor to be here this morning. So let's get into God's word. Let's open to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. The Bible says that wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Understanding is key. If your life is going to have meaning, and without wisdom, you cannot get to the place of understanding. In life, there are a lot of things to understand. One of the things that you should understand is that desires in our heart, most of the desires in our heart are not ours. You know, when the Bible says that whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe, you've received them, then you have them. That suggests to us that most of the desires in our heart, they came from God. They don't belong to you. One of such desire is the desire to multiply. It is just within everyone to want to multiply. You need to settle it within yourself that it is not selfishness to want to see multiplication in the things that you do. It is not covetousness. It is not out of order for you to desire multiplication in all that you do. You must settle it, because a lot of times we think that when we want more, we are being greedy. We need to understand the difference between greed and the desire to see progress in your life. Greed is when you have multiplied and you are hoarding what you have made. But that desire within yourself to want to see yourself multiply is usually from God. Your desire is derived in God. That desire is rooted in the Abrahamic. The desire to see progress, the desire to see increase in your life is from God. That is your spirit man trying to tell you that you need to align with what God spoke over man at the beginning. In Genesis 1, when God said, "Let us make man," after creating man, God blessed him and God said unto him, he spoke over the man and said, "Be fruitful and multiply." So to multiply is in the same league with the command to be holy. When the Bible says that be holy, it's the same league. We should not think that holiness is superior to multiplication. It's the same God that said be holy that said to us to multiply. We need to understand this and settle it in our hearts that the desire is a direct consequence of the blessing of Abraham. One of the things about this ministry, about Global Impact Church, that you hear over and over again is that we are blessed to be a blessing. That you must achieve greatness. You are blessed to be a blessing, meaning that God is counting on us to be a blessing to our world. God is waiting on us. Let's look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25:31-40. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided the sheep from his goat. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goat on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, "Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave the drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." The reason for the blessing is for you to be a blessing to the vulnerable around you. That is, God does not expect you to be the one in need. He actually expects the righteous to be the one meeting the needs in the lives of men. It was my wife that said it one day casually, that you cannot reach people without being rich. He said, the richer you are, the more people you can reach. Last night they were playing a video here and we saw the impact that the church is making in the nations, financing buildings and paying for schools and all of that. It takes money to do that. And there is no way you will be rich if you are not productive. Riches are products of a system. It takes money to buy clothes. It takes money to house the homeless. It takes money to rehabilitate the sick. It takes money to rehabilitate prisoners. It's not cheap. He said, we say to the righteous, stand to the right hand because you have been involved heavily in meeting the needs of men. You cannot be the righteous if you are not carrying out all the things mentioned there in the scripture. It takes heavyweight resources to be able to meet the needs in the lives of men. But, you know, most times we read that parable alone without paying attention to the two parables before it. There are three parables in Matthew 25. The first one is the parable of the 10 virgins. The second one is the parable of the talent. Then the parable of the sheep and goat. These three parables agree as one. The first part of that parable, because it was the same message Jesus was preaching, the three parts of that message, the first part of that message was there. It was emphasizing the place of wisdom. That in the end time, you must be a wise Christian. Your fire must be burning. Your spirit must be well oiled. You must have light on the inside of you. If you don't have light, you cannot multiply your talent. Without sense, without wisdom, you cannot multiply your talent. You can't even identify your talent. Because when he was speaking to them, he told them that, go and trade. He gave unto one 5. He gave unto another one 2. He gave another one 1 talent. And he said, go and trade with it. Go and do business with it. In business, the bottom line of business is money. Profits. Profits. It is the profit you make from your enterprise that you take from for social relevance. It is only companies that make profit that can have social projects. It is only companies that make profit that can want to go to villages, like, you know, there are some multinationals in Nigeria. They go to villages and they build houses for poor people. They fund, you know, big companies like Google and Bill Gates and all of that. You know, recently, what's the name now? He gave about 8 billion or so. If you don't have the money, you cannot do it. You need to identify your talent, but it begins with wisdom. The bottom line here is wisdom. So in these last days, God is counting on us to operate in wisdom. He's counting on us to take that wisdom into the marketplace. He's counting on us to take the talents he has given to us and cause them to be multiplied. When he came, he saw that the one that was given 5 talents had multiplied it and it had become 10. The one that was given 2 talents had done something with that talent. It had become 4. The man that they gave 1 buried it. And he called him it is wickedness not to multiply the things that God has given to you. God equates, because if you do not, even, you know, Jesus is saying, look, you will have put it in the bank to even make little interest. It is wickedness not to multiply the things that God has given to you. It is disobedience not to obey the voice of God. Be fruitful and multiply. So your drive to multiply must be rooted in your desire to help people. Your drive. So if your desire to multiply is not because you want to help people, then that desire is misplaced. The first time I heard the scripture, blessed is he that considereth the poor. It was Pastor Amy. The first time. Because at times when we go to the Psalms, we are looking for scriptures to kill people. Scriptures to kill, to say, let his path be slippery, let angels pursue them. But we don't see the one that blessed, it is blessed to consider. We don't see those ones. Because I was in the White Garment Church for a while, so the kind of scriptures we're used to in Psalms are not those type of scriptures. They are the ones that to cause arrows to fly and to cause demons to, and stuff like that. But your desire for prosperity, your desire for multiplication must be rooted in the help of people. It must be connected to kingdom advancement. And it must be powered by the covenant. You must understand that your desire to multiply agrees with the blessing of God upon your life. The Bible says that, it said God blessed them. And it said the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and have no sorrow. So when you are conscious of the covenant, you are connecting your seed. You are connecting your desire to that factor in God that will make that seed to multiply. So the blessing of Abraham that we've been blessed with will naturally translate to multiplication, will naturally translate to riches. Riches in themselves are products of profits. Profits, the Bible says, are generated from the field. Say the profit of the earth is for all. Even the king is served by the field. I'm going somewhere. You need to understand that your riches is connected to your profits. Your profits can only be generated from a field. Either you are a farmer, that is your field. If you are a footballer, you are in the field of sports. If you are in IT, you are in the field of IT. Every profit, if you don't have a field where you are sowing seed, you are a thief. If you have profits and you have nothing to show us how you made it, you are a thief. You are a fraud. You are a criminal. It is only in Nigeria people can wake up and become billionaires. You can't trace. When you hear Bill Gates, you can trace the money in his bank to a business. And you can trace the business to a field. We live in a generation where people want to blow without working. So you know, in the Instagram generation, you see people there, you are driving a Bentley, you are driving these, you are wearing designers, you don't have a business. We don't know the name of your company. Say you are an investor. Oga, you are a thief. So we've seen them unravel on the internet. We've seen them. I don't want to call names. We've seen them unravel. People want to just follow the brand. They want to wear brand and do stuff. But there is no field. Where are you cultivating? So the profit of the earth is for all. Even the king is served by field. Anybody you see that is a king somewhere. See, Ronaldo is very rich. He's my best footballer. He's my own best footballer. So I follow him. He's my best footballer. I know we can disagree. He's my best footballer. So he has hotels. He has a lot of things. And we all know where he works. He's a footballer. He actually walked on a field. So where are you walking? The talent God has given to you must be deployed somewhere. So you locate a field where you sow that talent, you sow that seed, and that seed will receive the blessing of God. That seed must be sown. In Genesis 26, 12 to 14, we saw the story there of Isaac. The blessing Isaac got from his father drove him to the field. It is not enough to shout, "I am blessed." It's not enough to shout, "I am blessed to be a blessing." Oh God, show us the field where you are putting that blessing to work. So God told Isaac, he said, "Sow in this land." It was after Isaac sowed. Let's read it. Let's read it, please. I wish they can give me the scripture here. Genesis chapter 26, verse 12 to 14. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The blessing, so your seed is sandwiched in the blessing. The blessing is on you. You put the seed in the ground, then you provoke the multiplication of the blessing again on your life. Next verse, please. The man began to prosper after he sowed and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. That's multiplication there. He had possession of flocks and possession of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. So it is when you put your seed in the ground and the seed begin to multiply, that is when the blessing becomes visible. The blessing you receive from the lips of Abraham cannot be seen. But when the seed hits your field, men begin to see you are blessed. It is your seed that you multiply that gives body to the blessing. We cannot circumvent this process. We must understand that we live in a seed-based realm. In Adam, when God created Adam and everything, the first thing God said there was that in everything there is the seed. The seed of everything is in itself. So God has locked up the seed of everything in it. We live in this realm. On this earth, everything follows the seed, time, and harvest principle. I call it the Almighty formula. It is the formula that will make you mighty on the face of the earth. The Bible says that the seed of the righteous shall be mighty on the face of the earth. So to multiply, you need a seed. To multiply, you need a seed. You have a seed that God has given to you. You need to know that seed. When you see a tree and you desire to have that tree, let me advise you, don't uproot the tree and take it home. If you do, the chances of survival will be 5%. When you approach a tree, you know, people want to just have overnight success. They see a big ministry, they see a big business, they want to copy and paste. You have problem. Collect the seed of that system. Put the seed in the ground and give it time. Your success rate jumps to 99%. If you uproot a tree, the success rate is less than 5%. If you plant a seed with the right condition, your success rate jumps from less than 5% to close to 99%. But the problem is that people don't want to wait.
Now I started wondering. I was asking God, just give us the big one. You just give me the big one. Give me, you know. And I said, look, Adam was born an adult. He failed. Because the day Adam was born, he wanted to get married immediately. So when God was going to send the last Adam, he sent him as a seed of the woman. He sent him as a baby. Because he said, the reason why they did not value the garden, they didn't work for it. They dashed them, you know. When people give you something, there's every chance you will not even know the value of what they've given to you. As a rule, when people give me things, I Google to see the value of it. Somebody gave me a cufflink once. Cufflinks. Came in a very solid pack with manual. I said, ah. There was manual in a cufflinks. Manual. So I went to check. The cufflinks is $250. So you can imagine that my attitude towards that cufflink changed. Adam did not do an appraisal of Eden. He didn't. That was why he lost it. And one thing with seeds is that seeds are easy to transport. You can carry the seed, an oak tree. You see a massive tree here. You want to plant it in your country. You take a few of the seed. You can put it in your pocket. You take it to your country. But if you want to transport that tree, you need to hire containers. So God has reduced success to seed form so that it is easy to carry. So that you don't have any excuse to say, it is because I don't have crane. I don't have, he will give you in a seed form. You will just take it and you see, he will bring you into big organizations and ministries so that you can interact and see some things. You package it, put it in a seed form, take it to Abuja, put it in the ground. And you water it, it start growing. When people start seeing what you are doing, they say, it look like, it's the seed of that thing. So to multiply means to obtain from a number another which contains the first number. To multiply means to obtain from a number. To multiply means to obtain from a number another which contains the first number in a specific number of time. Let me explain what I mean. So when God created Adam, at the back of his mind, he wanted all of us, billions of us right now. So the first thing God did, he created Adam. Then he removed Eve from inside Adam. They became two. So one times one is one. So God wanted one of the same. So he multiplied it by one. He had another one. They became two. For them to get another one, they had to come together and they waited 9 months to have their first son. But God wanted billions of people. God was patient. God subjected himself to the system of time, of seed, time, and you are not God. You have to calm down. Now listen, God wanted to have plenty of people on the face of the earth. He first created one man, removed a woman from inside him. They got pregnant, waited 9 months for one person to be born. 9 months. God did not fast track it. He didn't say, okay, shh, remote it. Mm-mm. He didn't say, okay. He waited 9 months. They gave birth to the other one. They gave birth to another one. Another 9 months. When they killed Abel, he still went back again to the same process and gave birth to Seth. God subjected himself to it. Let me tell you something. God will not violate his principles for you. And in those days, before people would get married, they're 100 years. 300 years. Noah was 300 years before he got married. So for his father to see his grandson, he had to wait for 300 years. So it took God more than 10,000 years to get here. But you, because you say you are the son of God, I am multiplied. I multiply overnight. It doesn't work like that. You need to understand that God will not violate his process for you. You need to understand that the seed he has given to you, there's a genetic code for that seed. If it's a corn seed, you must wait 3 months. If it's an oak tree, you wait 60 years to get value from it. I know somebody will say you're a mushroom. You can grow overnight. You don't have value. Yeah, it doesn't. Mushroom grows overnight, but how much do they sell it in the market? It takes God 60 years to grow a matured oak tree. One stem, you sell it for millions of dollars. So you need to subject yourself to that principle. You need to know these things. That to multiply, you take a thing and you can determine how many of that thing you want. I know for human beings it's not like that. But there are certain systems you can go in there and look at how many do I want to bring out of this same thing. If you can build capacity to churn out the thing in much, then you become very rich. If you go to Dangote Refinery, they have capacity to process cement very fast. They will tell you that in a day we can do this. The more you can process, the richer you become. There are few enemies of multiplication. Let me just put them quickly in our hands. Few enemies of multiplication. Number one, ignorance of how things work. When you don't understand the governing laws of life, you don't understand process, multiplying might be a problem. Number two, rotten attitude. Attitudes like ingratitude can be an enemy to this process we are talking about. Jesus subjected himself to this. Bible says that Jesus gave thanks. He had 5 loaves, 2 fish, and he gave thanks and it multiplied. He asked his boys, what do you think we need to do here? They said, he asked them to hear what he would say, but he himself knew what he would do. He knew that the trigger was gratitude. If you are a murmurer, your ground will be acidic. You might have good seed, but murmuring makes your ground to be acidic. The acid will kill your seed. It is not every seed that the plant that grows. When the ground is not good, the seed can be destroyed. Ingratitude can destroy your seed. Ingratitude to God and men, not only to God, but to men. Number three, fear. Fear. Many people don't know that the giants they see in their field, they are there not to scare them, but to inspire them. In every field, you find giants. The giants in your field, they are there to tell you what you can become in that field. Any field you want to go into today, you will see giants there. Let me also say that you don't kill your giants, outgrow them. In the 21st centuries, we don't kill our giants. We draw inspiration from them, then we dwarf them. The reason why you call them giant because you look like a dwarf. When you outgrow them, they now become the dwarf. You see that in IT. When Microsoft was coming out, IBM was the giant. Microsoft did not destroy IBM. They just outgrew them. When Apple came, Microsoft was supporting Apple. But today, Apple has outgrew. It is like that, you see. Just check everywhere. Giants are there to inspire you and to tell you what you can become in that field. The giant in your ground tells you that the land is fertile. Not to intimidate you. Don't look like a grasshopper beside your giant. You have capacity within that field to outgrow the giants. Number four, disobedience. If you are not willing and obedient, the good of the land cannot be delivered to you. Number five, laziness. The field of the lazy will not produce maximally because the lazy does not understand process. The lazy man has a field. The lazy man has planted his seed, but the lazy man is not diligent to ensure that the field is not overtaken by weeds. So what weed does is that it chokes the seed and the seed becomes unfruitful. Laziness is the reason why a lot of people are not seeing results. You see that in Matthew 13. Thorns and all of those things can choke your seed and your seed becomes unfruitful. Number six, negative speaking. Negative speaking. Negative seeing. When you don't see like God, when you don't talk like God, you won't see multiplication. The heart and the mouth must agree before multiplication can happen. Number seven, competition and envy is another enemy of multiplication. You don't compare yourself with other people. Don't compare your seed with other people's seed. God is not partial. Whatever God has given to you, He gave it to you based on who you are. Receive it with joy. Cultivate it. You will get equal reward at the end of the day. You don't need to compete with other people, and there's no point comparing yourself with other people. And finally, don't look down on your seed. That's all you've got. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Never say, what is this among so many? So my message for you this morning is that small is beautiful. Embrace it. Start small. What you have is enough. Every great thing you see today came out of a seed. But you need to plant that seed. You need to water your seed. It is God that brings the increase. Yes, you will plant, you will water. Multiplication comes from God. If your brother's field is producing more than you, it is God that is responsible, not the brother. You don't need to fight men when they are making progress. God is the one that multiplies men. Like Esau, God said to Esau, if you did what is right, you will get the same results. The Lord will bless this truth in our hearts this morning, in Jesus' mighty name. God.